Welcome to the Hateful Hitman Podcast. Brought to you by Hitman Fantasy Productions. Premier football coverage from college to NFL to fantasy and everything in between. And now, from the Hitman's Hideout, here's your host, Chris Strasbaugh.
I'd like for you to take a minute as you're driving down the road or listening or whatever and just stop and look around you and look at the person you're passing or the person sitting across from you at the stop sign or the farmer, you know, out dusting his crops, spraying his beans, and stop and think that every one of them people that you see and that you meet throughout the day, we're all going through this thing called life together, okay? Whether it's COVID, whether it's, you know, kids going back to school, dealing with COVID, whether it's, you know, work shutdowns, getting back to work, whatever. Everybody has a story, okay? Everybody is all just trying to make it through their day just like you and I. Nobody, black, white, yellow, green, purple, blue, red, is better than anybody else. The Black Lives Matter movement? No. No. All lives matter movement. All life is precious. Okay? It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't make you any less. It doesn't make you matter any less than me. Or anybody else for that matter. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a journey that we've all came from a certain direction to get where we are at right now. Just be nice to people. Just take a minute. I'm going to tell you a little story. This is the truth, and this is very true. I've been working down in Dayton, Ohio over the past couple of months. And up the road from where my job site is, it's only like 4 or 5 minutes from a Skyline Chili. Anybody who knows me knows I love Skyline. So I'm pulling into Skyline the other day, and there's an older gentleman, not old, but he's probably knocking on 60's front door. And he saw me coming around, and he could have been that guy and just hit the gas and sped up and gone into the drive-thru. But instead, he stopped and let me go ahead of him in the drive-thru. That's a little gesture that humanity has not lost its focus yet. Okay, there's still people on this earth that are worth a darn. So I go through and I'm sitting there, and I ordered a couple cheese conies and an iced tea, and I pulled up, and as I look in the rear view, the guy pulls in behind me, and I looked at the lady in the window, and I said, you know what? I said, however much that guy behind me, however much his tab was, I want to go ahead and pay for that. And she said, okay, that's really cool of you. So it was like $8 or $9, no big deal. I said, when he gets to the window, just tell him I said thank you for letting me go first. That's all it is, people. It's just a gesture of humility and humanity towards your fellow man. Be nice to people. Respect each other. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter. We all come from somewhere. Whether you're driving to work or you're planting that field or you're spraying your crops. You're rolling hay right now. We all come from somewhere. We're all getting through our day. Just be nice to people. And if we could all do that as a whole, this world would be so much better. All the hate, all the racism, all the crap that comes with it would all go away if you were just nice to your fellow man. It was important that I say that because I was thinking about it on the way home from work today. And I wanted to put a little bit of a, an uplifting, inspirational message to start this podcast, because it's been so ugly lately with the coronavirus and, you know, a lot of doubt, a lot of questions. And, you know, there's still good in this world and there's still good people out there. And I'm happy to know a bunch of them. I'm happy to call a lot of you guys friends. I'm happy you listen to my podcast. With that, welcome into the Hateful Hitman podcast. It is Wednesday night, August 26th. That's right, August 26th. We are just days away from the start of the NFL and college football seasons. I got a good show for you tonight. I'm going out on a branch a little bit. It's something new for me. It's a breakout and bust, as the main course of the evening. I got five breakout names. I got five names that aren't necessarily busts, but names that I'm steering away from as drafts really start to ramp up, you know, over the next week or two. This weekend is a big draft weekend, and then next weekend's even busier for most of you guys that are doing redraft leagues and even your keeper leagues. I got two drafts this upcoming weekend. The Hateful Hitman League is rolling out Saturday. Fuzzy's Fantasy League is rolling out Sunday. And then next week, you know, it really gets fired up. So I got some names that, like, we're really close. And, you know, by all intents and purposes, the NFL is, full steam ahead. Very few cases of the coronavirus has hit the NFL. So, you know, we're looking good there. College, still kind of up in the air. I'm still holding my breath that works. But I'm also letting a little bit of air in so I can still breathe, because I'm not sure it's going to go. But the closer we get, you know, if we get another week, 10 days down the road, and they, you know, I think at that point, they're going to have to go with it at least one, to see how it goes. Got a couple little tidbits of news I want to talk about real quick.
Here's what we know.
Kenyon Drake was seen in a walking boot. He said, if you think about it, this time last year I was in a walking boot. I'm just trying to, you know, stay on track. Stay safe. Well, if that's the case, then why isn't everybody wearing a walking boot? You know, I don't know what to make of it. Nothing right now. Still like Kenyon Drake. I still like his upside for the season in that offense. But him in a walking boot is definitely it catches your eye. Saw today on the Sleeper app, David Montgomery was carted off the field. ESPN reporting it's a groin injury. Look, those things are nagging. And, you know, the soft tissue injuries that ramp up normally this time of year are even more amplified with, you know, less practices, less time before the season started. So I think this may be the beginning of stuff that we see, you know, into the first part of the season. It backs up his status for week one, maybe. Not sure. I have a couple shares of David Montgomery, and as of this moment, I'm going to have to probably question his availability week one. He's supposed to take a bigger step this year. He kind of let people down his rookie season. Was supposed to take a step in the right direction this year. Now he's got a groin injury, and if he doesn't take care of that properly and it doesn't heal, it's just going to carry on and on throughout the course of the season, and he's not going to be right at all, and he's not going to be worth a darn. So let's hope that they take the proper precautions, get it healed, and don't let him back out there until he's ready to roll, because it's an uphill process. You know, if he continues, you know, to get hurt over and over again, he won't be right all season. One bit of uplifting news per the Sleeper app, Sony Michel was on the PUP for a little bit, was at practice today, and he is off the PUP list. So this cloudies up the water in New England once again at the running back position. If you have any shares of Sony Michel, you know, dump him. That's what I did. I had one share of Michelle, and I traded him over the week in a package deal for Michael Gallup. I didn't want to roll that dice. I didn't want to take that chance, so I went ahead and moved him. and you know, with a couple of draft picks and got Michael Gallup in return. So, you know, I'm not willing to take that risk and run that. Is this his week? Is this his week? Does he go off this week? And this week he has two carries? Nah, not doing it. Don't like that New England offense, especially the running game. If it's not James White, and I have one share of James White, and that's just for a depth piece, and I'm only going to play him if I need to, but I don't like any part of it. And so I had to eliminate what I could, and Rochelle was expendable. I got a piece that I was really happy with in return, so I moved him. That's about it as far as news, notes, injuries. You know, a lot of positivity coming out of a lot of these NFL camps. Everybody's saying a lot of good things, you know, coach speak, whatever. I think we're all just happy to have, you know, a season, and we're all looking forward to it. So, you know, as of right now, a lot of positivity, a lot of, you know, good things being said. And, you know, that's all well and good. You know, it's a step in the right direction for the season moving forward. I hope at some point we let some stands in or some fans in the stands, you know, and as progressively get back to some semblance of order before the season is over. Tomorrow night, this is brand new. I started it last week. I started if you've ever heard of Sportscaster, it's an app where you can broadcast, podcast, you know, news things, and it's a live stream, kind of like it would be on Twitter, only it's on Sportscaster, and I really like the application. I'm really hoping it works out. Tomorrow night, join Brian and myself for the first ever Hateful Hitman show on Sportscaster. You go to Sportscaster, you register, and you go find the Hateful Hitman podcast on Sportscaster. You follow it, you should get notifications, you know, for when the show's going to start. Tomorrow night we will be, like I said, we're getting deep into our drafts. Draft season is right up on us. So tomorrow night we'll be starting our unveiling of our top 10 players at each position. Quarterback, wide receiver, running back, tight end. Our top 10 guys that we got, you know. And this is basically for your redraft and your keeper leagues, because dynasty leagues, like it doesn't need to be said, but dynasty leagues, these guys are gone. But this is for redraft, keeper leagues. You know, we're going to start working through our top 10, probably do tight ends, wide receivers tomorrow night on Sportscaster, and then maybe early next week we'll throw out quarterbacks and running backs, and then the following week, toe meets leather, and we kick this dude off. So we're getting close to it. Stay tuned at the end of the podcast. I've got my information for the second jersey giveaway presented by Hitman Fantasy Productions, the youth Dak Prescott jersey. I'll give you the question at the end of the podcast. You can go do research however you want to find the answer. Let me know it. Get you registered for that white youth Dak Prescott jersey. Okay, here we go. Breakouts, bust, five breakouts, five busts. And we're going to start this thing off down in Big D. And I'm not going to talk a lot of numbers, because I throw so many numbers out there as it is. I'm going to give you some names, give you some reasons why, and we're going to let the numbers do their talking, you know, throughout the course of this season. I'm going to start with Blake Jarwin, Dallas Cowboys tight end. A couple of main reasons. Okay, if you look at the Dallas Cowboys, they've got offensive firepower all over the place. I spoke about this last week. They got offensive firepower all over the place. The vacated targets that Randall Cobb, Tavon Austin, and Jason Witten left behind. Okay, somebody's got to scoop up those targets. And you say, well, C.D. Lamb. Sure. Love C.D. Lamb. Okay, but he can't grab them all. At the tight end position, the vacated targets that was left in Dallas by those three players can be picked up by Blake Jarwin and CeeDee Lamb. It's another weapon for Dak to throw the ball to. I don't think they're going to have – I don't think defenses are going to have the luxury of double-teaming everyone because you can't put that many players on the field. So somebody's going to be open. And I think not only can Blake Jarwin be good for you in the red zone and then for touchdowns, I think he can also be targeted, you know, let's call it 6 times a game, and he may grab 3-4 catches. That's not great. I get that. But if he throws a touchdown in there, if he gets 7 targets, catches 5 for 40 and a touchdown, that's a good day for a tight end, in my opinion, because I'm not a tight end guy. But the vacated targets to me in Dallas are a big reason why I think Blake Jarwin could have a bust-out season for the Dallas Cowboys. Next, we're going to shoot across to DJ Chark. Wide receiver, Jacksonville Jaguars, 2 reasons. Okay, towards the middle and the end of the season, him and Gardner Minshew had some serious chemistry, and he was really coming on at the end of the season. You hear his name a lot in a lot of different places. There's a lot of hype, and there's good reason for it. Okay, he's going to have the eye of the quarterback, you know, more often than not. You got Minshew coming into his second year. And I thought about talking about him a little bit on this podcast, on this list, but I wanted to leave him off because I need one more year from Gardner Minshew, you know, before I'm a sold-out believer, you know, in the mustache. But him and DJ Chark, they had a chemistry and a connection last year, and there's a lot to that in the NFL. You've got a lot of chemistry between your quarterback and his wide receiver. They have to be on the same page. You've seen it throughout the course of NFL history. When a quarterback has confidence in his tight end or his wide receiver, they can do some serious damage. And I like DJ Chark this year. Definitely rising up on draft boards and definitely could have a breakout season for Jacksonville. Number 3 on my list of breakouts, and this guy, it's no secret about this guy. He jumped on the scene last year as a rookie, and, you know, even me, as not the world's biggest Ohio State Buckeyes fan, have to appreciate, you know, what he did for the team he's on, you know, and performed very, very well as a rookie, and that's Terry McLaurin, Washington football team wide receiver. Now, it does look like Dwayne Haskins is going to be the quarterback. They say there's Alex Smith is probably not going to be the guy. And for McLaurin, I think that bodes well because he was with Haskins at Ohio State, with Haskins now. You know, they're working it, you know, the whole quarterback-wide receiver combo I just talked about. And let's be quite honest, who else is there to throw the ball to? I mean, he's going to be the first look. I'm hoping, you know, Antonio Gibson has a big role. But, you know, got to like what McLaurin does and what McLaurin brings to the Washington Redskins. The next guy on my list is he's flying a little under the radar. And I totally understand why, with the addition of DeAndre Hopkins to Arizona, you know, it kind of puts Christian Kirk on the back burner a little bit. He's not front page news anymore. Okay, he admittedly said he's been playing hurt. And, you know, from all accounts, from what I've seen, unless something has happened over the last day or two, he's healthy now. And I think he can be very crucial in PPR and half PPR leagues, you know, at getting significant playing time and being a solid, you know, flex play in most fantasy lineups. Now, if you play in shallower leagues, maybe not. If you play in leagues that are standard scoring, no non-PPR, you know, maybe not as well, because I don't think he's going to catch 10 touchdowns. But it's a guy that can, when healthy and on the field, and Kyler Murray has to roll around and move around and find people, okay, I think Christian Kirk can benefit from that and can have a very solid season. And we may be talking about him at the end of the year saying he finally showed up. I think this is his third year now. He finally showed up and did what we all expected him to do, you know, maybe last year. And we say Christian Kirk had a great season, and, you know, What a great pick, mid rounds, even towards the late ends of drafts. I think Christian Kirk will still be there for it. If I had a hype train whistle or whatever, I'd toot it right now. But I've got to put Joe Burrow as my fifth breakout guy on this list. He accomplished things that nobody had ever accomplished before in college. Okay, and I know it's college NFL, I get that. He's a rookie again, sure. Okay, but we have nothing to go on in the NFL. Okay, there's not a whole lot of film on him in the NFL. There's none. So he's going to have a chance to come out and do things that teams aren't ready for at this level. You go back, okay, he's just right out of college. He's a rookie. He's going to struggle. All those things are true. All those things are true. But he's also got the potential and the opportunity to soar as a rookie. A.J. Green, that's bothering me. The whole A.J. Green thing bothers me because he still isn't playing. And that would be a tremendous help to a rookie quarterback to have a veteran stud like A.J. Green to throw the ball to. If they're just holding him out because of precautions, keeping him healthy, you know, the whole veteran thing, he's fine, ready to go. He doesn't need to practice. That's great. But what he does need is timing and chemistry with Joe Burrow. If they can get some of that taken care of and they can get A.J. Green going, I think Joe Burrow could have a great season, and there are some supporting cast members there. I'm not a big Joe Mixon fan. Don't care too much for him. But, you know, decent running game out of the back. Decent group of wide receivers to throw the ball to. You know, and if A.J. Green can stay healthy for 14, 15 games, Joe Burrow could have a breakout season as a rookie and put up some severely awesome fantasy numbers for you in leagues where if maybe you don't get dinged with interceptions as much, because he's going to throw a few picks. It's just the natural order of things. But he's also going to throw some touchdowns too and probably pile up some yardage to go with it. So I've got a couple shares of Joe Burrow. I grabbed him in the Devy League last year. You know, I can't wait to see what this kid does. So it would be a little bit – it's hard for me to leave him off my breakouts list just because of the opportunity he has ahead of him and things that he can do that we've seen him do in college at the highest level. He plays in what some people say is the hardest conference. He played at the highest level, won the Heisman, national championship, done things nobody had done forever. So, you know, they're saying he's got good command of the offense in Cincinnati. So, you know, there you go, Joe. It's all you. Ohio boy, do your thing in Cincinnati. On to the flip side, the busts, and I know I can't say that they're going to be busts, but they're people that I'm tending to stay away from. And you know, full honesty here, the guy at the top of my list, I do have two shares of, but it's only because it was in dynasty leagues and I kept him over, you know, from previous years. And that's Stephon Diggs, wide receiver, now for the Buffalo Bills. If he was mad before at Kirk Cousins and the things that Kirk Cousins wasn't doing well, I just don't see what's going to be any better in Buffalo with a less accurate Josh Allen, who is known to take off and run as opposed to, if it's not there, you know, take off and go, as opposed to throwing it and forcing it. Now, the one good thing about that is Josh Allen likes to throw the ball deep. He's got a big old cannon for an arm, and he'll throw the ball deep. So it may work out, but I think those are boom plays that you're only going to see, you know, every two or three games, and you can't count on that consistency that Diggs was in Minnesota. I think it's a different format now. And I think his value has dropped to the point where he's not undraftable by any means, but it's to the point where I'm going to stay away from him as long as there's other options. And by the time other options are gone, somebody else is going to have taken him, and I'm going to be okay with that. Like I said, I do have a couple of shares of him, and I'm going to have to play him, you know, by necessity. And you may be in that situation yourself. But if you have other options, like say a DJ Chark, you know, who was on the breakout side, I would take DJ Chark over Stephon Diggs just for the upside, just for what may be, and live with, okay, I was wrong. Diggs had 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns this year. You know, we'll see how it goes. I'm just one guy that, you know, I really like Stephon Diggs. He's been good for me in leagues over the years. It's going to take one of those show me that you're still the guy in fantasy that you have been. Speaking of show me, the next guy on my list has to show me as well. And it's not, I mean, I have zero shares of this guy across 12 leagues so far. I'm in 12 leagues total, and I still have three or four drafts left to go. Anyway, I have zero shares of this guy anywhere. And that's Drew Lock, quarterback for Denver. And that's another one of those situations where he came on in the second half of the season. Denver had a good record. I'm aware of all that. But he's going to have to show me. And he's going to fall, and he's going to have to fall a long way in drafts before I'm willing to take a chance on Drew Lock. I'm not saying I wouldn't draft him. There is one guy on this list that I will not draft. I'll get to him at the end. But not saying I wouldn't draft Drew Lock. I'm just saying that he's going to have to fall to me, and the other options are going to have to be gone in order for me to take a chance on Drew Lock. Not that he's a bust. It's just a guy I'm steering away from. Another guy I'm steering away from, number three on this list, Cameron Newton, quarterback for the New England Patriots. We all have that guy, that one guy that has just irked you from the time he became, you know, famous. And to me, that's Cam Newton. He irked me at Auburn. He irked me throughout his time in Carolina, and he's going to continue to irk me throughout the course of his time at New England. I'm of the belief that his best days are behind him. I don't know that Belichick can fix this broken part. And I've seen him, you know, in limited action they show on NFL Network. I've seen him throw. He looks good. He really does. He throws the ball with a lot of zip. It looks like he has a lot of – his throwing motion looks good. But he's a big, strong guy. And if he starts to take a beating and he starts to get beat up on, you know, he's one good injury away again. And I think he's one good injury away from being completely done in the NFL. One big major injury, and I'm not talking broken finger or something like that, but if he hurts his shoulder or he hurts his elbow or does something to his back, that's it. And, you know, to me, that's not worth taking the risk on. You know, at this time, you know, especially in one quarterback leagues, I'm not even looking at him. Two quarterback leagues, super flex, you may not have any choice. I'm going to go someplace else. You know, and I'm telling you this, I'm telling you from my personal opinion, you know, don't just take mine, get other people's opinions as well, but I'm staying away from Newton. I don't want any part of that, and now that Brady's gone from Tampa, I don't want any part of that offense, you know, at all. I would love to see N'Keal Harry have a great season, and maybe he will with Newton there, but, you know, I just don't trust any of that, and I'm staying away from Cam Newton. Number four, and I might get some bunk back on this one a little bit, and that's Marlon Mack, running back out of Indianapolis. And the reason for it, it's not that I doubt Marlon Mack. It's not that I doubt his ability to stay on the field. It's not that I doubt his ability as a football player. I just think there's a guy that they brought in that's just that much better. And it's only a matter of time before that better, even though it's a rookie, shows up, it rears its ugly head, and all of a sudden, you're looking at Marlon Mack getting less and less and less throughout the course of the season, and Jonathan Taylor getting more and more and more. I think it happens sooner than later, and wasting a high draft pick on a running back at Marlon Mack's, you know, position, it's just too much for me. Now, I don't think I've ever had a share of Marlon Mack, so it's easy for me to say that, because I'm sure there's some people that had Marlon Mack and they've really helped, he's really helped them be successful. But if you look, if you read the room, okay, and you look at what's up and coming, Taylor just is, in my opinion, he's a better football player, and I think it's only a matter of time before that translates, and it's Jonathan Taylor the starter, and they sprinkle in some Marlon Mack, other than the first part of the season where it's vice versa. Last guy on my list, and, you know, I have no problem if everybody out there just thinks I'm crazy. I am completely 100%, without a shadow of a doubt, avoiding, not drafting, wouldn't take him if I absolutely had to, never will again, Leonard Fournette. In PPR last year, he wasn't terrible, but he wrecked you in about every other format there was. If he was in standard scoring leagues, he wrecked you. If he was in half-point PPR, still not great. He's one bad game and an attitude away from maybe being traded. And, you know, I don't know if he may be one bad ankle injury away from being out 6 to 8 weeks. Another high-end running back and a position that's so fragile yet so precious and so expensive, no way I'm taking this guy. I would take Marlon Mack and hope he plays four games before I take Leonard Fournette for the whole entire fantasy season. That's how much I'm staying away from Leonard Fournette. Want no part of it whatsoever. And a change of scenery may be what the doctor ordered. If he gets traded or, you know, gets cut, his contract's up and he goes elsewhere, whatever, may change my mind next year. But as of right now, and it's not because of somebody knocking on the door, because there's nobody there really to come in and take a spot. He's going to be the guy. I just don't really want any part of what he has to offer for fantasy. And, you know, like I said, he was okay in PPR last year. He had a bunch of receptions. But that's just a guy that, I don't know, he's just a little bit too volatile for me. And, you know, I'm staying away from Leonard Fournette. Quick rundown. Breakouts. Blake Jarwin. DJ Shark. Terry McLaurin. Christian Kirk. Joe Burrow. Bust or stay away from. Stephon Diggs, Drew Lock, Cam Newton, Marlon Mack, Leonard Fournette. There you have it. Five breakouts, five busts. Let me know what you think about that. Find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. Drop me some knowledge. Before I go, I want to promote jersey giveaway number 2. It is a youth white Dak Prescott. I'm going to give this thing away just like I did the Baker Mayfield back in the early part of summer. What you're going to do is I'm going to give you a clue right here. You're going to find me on Twitter, DM me. Do not put the answer on Twitter. You will be disqualified. DM me the answer. Text me the answer. Facebook Messenger me the answer. Anywhere it's private, get a hold of me with the answer. Just like last time, you can use any resource to find the answer. And here it is. In the show Yellowstone, big fan of Yellowstone. I talked about it a few podcasts ago. Now, you might have to do some research if you don't watch the show. There is definitely a wrong and a right answer to this question. Okay. Wes Bentley plays Jamie Dutton. Okay, in the movie Yellowstone, or in the show Yellowstone, what actor plays Jamie Dutton's father? Okay, you might have to do some research on that. What actor plays Jamie Dutton's father on the show Yellowstone? If you think it's an easy answer, you're wrong. I want the guy's name. I want the actor's name, not his not his show name, his name in real life. At Twitter, at Hateful Hitman, DM me, message me, text me, whatever, and I'll get you registered for this Dak Prescott jersey. I'm going to get pictures of it out on Facebook, Twitter, all that here yet this evening. So there you go. There it is. There's your question for the second jersey giveaway for Hitman Fantasy Productions. What actor plays Jamie Dutton's father on the Yellowstone? That's a wrap for me this evening. Check us out tomorrow on Sportscaster. We're gonna break down our top 10 players at the position live, probably about 7 o'clock. My name is Chris Strasbaugh. Hope you had a great day. Hope you enjoyed the show. Find me on Twitter, Hateful Hitman. Find the show on Podbean, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Pod, Google Pod. It's everywhere. It's everywhere you listen to podcasts now. I thank you for listening. Have a great week. Be kind to each other. See you next time on the...